to talk to you about communion and what it means and what it represents, right? And first scripture that we're going to go to is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is admonishing them, and he's telling them, you know, you guys come together for the Lord's Supper, but you don't do it right. And we'll read that in a minute. But here's an aspect, and it's something that overlaps a lot of things that we do. And again, I'm not trying to put anybody under pressure, but I'm trying to just raise up our standard of what we're doing. What do I mean by that? Listen to this. I believe that there's a reverence that needs to be around holy things.
Yes.
Let me say that again. There needs to be reverence around holy things. And what does reverence mean? It just means respect. It means honor. It means I'm going to give you my full attention because this moment deserves it. Right? And so, you know, we have been in services and probably conducted services where we have communion, but there's no reverence around it. It's like, well, it's the third Sunday of the month or it's whatever, and so we're going to do it, and that's it. But I'm telling you that we dishonor the feast of communion when we don't reverence communion. Are you listening to me? And watch this. We'll get to the scripture in a moment, I promise. But I grew up in the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church believes that the wine and the bread turn literally into the presence of God.
Yes.
That it absolutely is the body and the blood of Jesus.
Right.
Now, most Protestants believe that it's the symbol of those things. But for me, whether it's the symbol or the actual, it deserves the same amount of reverence. Right? The same amount of reverence. In fact, in the Catholic Church, they believe it so much that if you walk into a Catholic church and you came down this middle aisle, before you could get into the pew, you would genuflect and then go into the pew. Why? Because in the back of the altar, where they conduct the Mass, behind the altar is all of the communion elements that didn't get used before. And so they believe that in that little vestibule of where that's stored is the literal presence of God, because He's encapsulated in those elements. So when you come down the middle of the aisle, you bow before the presence of God. Now, I'm not saying that we are going back to doing that necessarily, but I'm telling you that our heart should be, when I'm coming to the communion table, this is the body and the blood of the one who came and died for me. And not just that, He is God Himself in the flesh, who came from heaven and took on the form of a man. And this is the representation of that.
Yes.
All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to start in verse 17. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It says, now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. That's an incredible verse of scripture, and it's an indictment to the church. And he's saying, look at Paul was never preached a message of condemnation, saying that I'm better than you, but he did bring correction because he wanted better for them. Are you with me? So he's saying here, listen, man, what you're doing here, we got to straighten it out. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must have been factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. One is hungry and another is drunk. What, do you not have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. Again, it's so, we're saved, right? We know Jesus, but we still have the fleshly impulses and stuff. And so when they're coming together, it's like we have different groups of people, right? Here's the elite, and here's this class, and here's that class, and here's that class. And God says, listen, you don't understand. There are no tiers in the body of Christ because we're all the body of Christ. Let me say that again. There are no tiers in the body of Christ because we are the body of Christ. So when you come to have the Lord's Supper, what are you honoring? You're honoring the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. So you can't come together to have communion if you're not in a place where you're honoring one another. If you're not in the place where you're preferring one another. And we're going to go on to see later, maybe if we get there, but that doing it, having the Lord's Supper in a non-honorable fashion, puts you at risk. Because he says in the latter verses of this chapter, he says, some of you have fallen asleep. It means you died because you didn't honor the Lord's body. And again, it's not talking about the bread, but it's talking about what the bread represents. Right? So if we don't honor one another, even when somebody makes you mad, even when somebody does something that's just wrong, when we're coming to communion, we need to straighten that out in our own hearts. Yes. It's like, God, I know my perspective. I may not know your perspective, but I know my perspective, and they were wrong. But it's not my place to present them before you as less than me. I need to honor you and trust you that you'll take care of business, but I want to walk in a way that I forgive them because they're part of my body.
Right?
Right? Listen, it would be like this. It would be like, you know, you're walking along and you kick something with your toe. And your body says, you stupid toe. I can't believe you're that dumb. In fact, I want nothing to do with you anymore, toe, because you did that and it's just wrong and therefore you're out. But that's what we're doing with one another when we hold on to things. I'm not saying they were right, but it's like, do we trust Jesus with one another? So we come together. It's about, yes, focusing on the Lord and what he accomplished in the Passover meal, which we're going to look at. But it's also about that he's made us one in him. So in these first few verses that we said, he said, listen, this is not good and I don't praise you. Why? Because you're preferring one another and put people in classes and it's not good. So you're not even coming together really for the Lord's Supper. But there's a better way, right? And when we come together, I think that there's power in recognizing what happened in the Passover meal. And again, people go to the other extreme that says, well, we need to celebrate the Passover from the standpoint of going back into the tradition of it. And the tradition, everything is good. Even the festival is great. Unless you take the Passover lamb out of it. What do I mean by that? If you don't put Jesus in the middle of it as being the fulfillment of the Passover, then the celebration is not right. Are you listening to me? Anyway, so go with me to Luke chapter 22, and we'll start in verse 13. I just love this. I love this. Luke chapter 22 and verse 13, it says, so they went and found it just as Jesus had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when they had come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him. And when the hour had come, he sat down with the 12, and then he said to them, with fervent desire, I've desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. With fervent desire. In other words, man, I was really looking forward to this. There's something about this that's different than any others. I have this expectation in my heart, and I've had this fervent desire to sit down with you. Why was this different than the Passover before, or the one before that, or the one 10 years ago? It's because this was the last one where the symbol would be honored. And now the real lamb was going to be sacrificed. Come on, right? Right. So Jesus is my Passover. Jesus is my Passover lamb. In the next verse he says, for I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. When was it fulfilled? It was fulfilled when he took his blood and went into the Holy of Holies and it was accepted. Hallelujah. As the final, the complete sacrifice, because he is a lamb without spot or wrinkle, without blemish. And when he went in, he didn't go in for himself as much as he went in for us. Yes. Right? And again, we're not going to turn there, but I just want to mention a couple things about the Passover when it was originated. Do you know that it was originated when the children of Israel were in Egypt? And Egypt in the Old Testament is it's a symbol of sin, or the state of sin, or being outside of where you're supposed to be. Right? So it was the symbol of sin. So they were in sin. God wanted to deliver them, but the enemy, the Pharaoh, was resistance to their deliverance. Now watch this. All of us were in sin before we made Jesus our Lord. And our enemy, the devil, and all of his cohorts were trying to keep you out of it and didn't want you to be released into the freedom that he has for you. Right? So the Passover, all of these things were happening, and one after the other, and finally God brought Pharaoh to the place where he said, okay, you didn't listen, you didn't listen, you didn't listen, you didn't listen. All right. And he told Moses, tell him that tonight the death angel is going to come across. And when the death angel comes over, all of the firstborn are going to be killed. However, tell my people that they need to take a lamb. And they not only need to take the blood of the lamb and put it over their doorposts, because when the death angel comes over, all of the doorposts, they'll say, not that door, not that house, not that house. But watch it. It also said that you must eat of the meat of the lamb that was slain. Why? Because as soon as this happens, you're going to need strength to go forward and go into the freedom that I purchased for you. Right? So watch this. Okay, we could go much further detail on that. But let's go back and look at Luke chapter 11 again. In Luke, again, chapter 11, in verse 16, for I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks, and he said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom comes. Verse 18. I say to you, verse 19. And then he took the bread and he gave thanks and broke it and he gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. I don't think he was saying, you know, you might forget who I am. I'm not going to be around for a while, so you might not understand. No, he was saying, I want you to remember everything that this represents. Because going forward, you're going to need not only the protection that I brought, the deliverance that I brought, the healing that I brought, but you're also going to need the strength that I bring. But remember this. So when we take communion and we have the elements, it's holy. It's holy. Because we're looking back at what Jesus did. We're looking back at the fact that he was the Son of God. He was enthroned on the right next to God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. But he left his divinity from the standpoint of its privilege in heaven when he came and took the form of a man.
Thank you, Lord.
And he took that form so that he was the spotless lamb without sin, without any, you know, but he did that and he suffered everything that he suffered as that lamb because we needed him to. So he's saying, when you do this, like in the future, when you go about this, remember me. Remember what I did. Two things. If we really understand how much or what effect that sacrifice had on me as an individual, I would never take it lightly. And I'd be humbled by it. Every time. Why? Because he who knew no sin became sin. What does that mean? That means he took my sin. Why is that such a big deal? Well, because in my sin, I was outside of God forever. But he took that sin with him to the cross in his body.
Thank you, Lord.
And his blood purified my heart forever and ever. And the sin that was written against me, it says as far as the east is from the west, he'll remember it no more. So when I drink of that blood, do I really concentrate and think about, man, I've just been made right with God. I'm going to spend eternity in holy. In holy. In holy. What do I mean? If we really understood the full presence of God and the awe and the wonder and the pureness and that wait a minute, I who was filthy, the Bible says that your righteousness or your ability to become right with God is as filthy rags in his presence. And I won't go into the graphic detail, but it's bad, right? It's bad. But all of your ability to do that, in fact, you can't get there. So in the communion, what we're remembering is, this was my condition until Jesus became the spotless lamb. But the other side of that, in his holiness, is that I become his righteousness. So I am grateful that he took my sins, but I'm also eternally, humbly grateful that I can now forever be in his presence. In liturgical circles, the bread and the wafer, like you have in that little dispenser that you have there, it's called the Eucharist. Has anybody ever heard that term? Yeah. The Eucharist. Well, what the Eucharist means is thanksgiving. So again, when we're taking communion, it's like, Lord, I want to remember what you did because I want to give you the proper thanks.
Yes.
But not just that you did it for me, but that you did it for Zach, and you did it for Tina, and you did it for Billy, and you did it for, why? Because we're of the same body. So when you come together, it's like a celebration. And you can look at somebody that you know has some flaws. Right? And you know that their flaws are bigger than your flaws, but that's a whole different thing. But you can look at them and you can say, wait a minute. That same blood that cleansed me of my sin and allowed me to enter into the presence of God in true righteousness is applied to them. And I want to celebrate it as much for them as I do for me.
Yes, come on.
Why? Because they're my toe.
Yes. Come on.
Right? They're my eardrum. They're part of me. So when Paul was admonishing them and telling them, look, this is not good. Because you're taking and you're going through the ritual of the Lord's Supper, but you're not applying it to everyone. So it's like, okay, Lord, what a miraculous thing that this is. Take my body because it's been broken for you. The blood, it says drink of the blood because that blood is washed and made us clean. Wash is so good. Jesus is our Passover lamb. That blood that's been sprinkled on the doorpost of our heart brings us in, as Ephesians 1 says, into that redemption. I'm redeemed. I've been brought back into. And it not only does that, later it says, I think in verse 11, it says, it's given us an inheritance. So Jesus said, when you're taking the communion, don't just remember that you are redeemed, but remember that you have an inheritance. You have an inheritance. I love the story of the prodigal son. And when he came back and his dad came out to meet him, he was going there with, man, I'm just going to be a servant. I'm hungry. And I know my servants live better than I'm living right now, but I'm just going to go. I'm no longer, shouldn't be a son anymore because I've disgraced the family name. But I'm going back to him and just become a servant. I'll, do what I was doing for this other person, feeding the hogs or, whatever they do. But and the dad came running after him. Came out to him and said, my son who was dead, that was you, that was me. My son who was dead has now been made alive again. Listen, get the fatted calf. We're going to have a party. And watch this. He put the family ring back on him and put the family robe around him. So when others saw him walking, they go, oh, yes, that's the Father's son. When you came to Jesus and made him Lord of your life, in heaven, the Father came to you and he took off your clothes that were worn and tattered and worn out and filthy, and he put on his, come on, robe of righteousness. Come on, that's so powerful. And that's all represented in the elements. So when you really think about that, there is no shame for those who've been washed. It says in Hebrews that the blood of Jesus has cleansed us, and it's actually delivered us from the consciousness of sin. What does that mean? The shame that you're lingering in because of something that you did or didn't do yesterday, last year, 20 years, or 30 years ago. When you eat and drink of this, you're to remember that that shame no longer is applied to you. That shame, no matter if your parents won't let you, you know, forget it, or especially your brothers and sisters won't let you forget it, or whoever won't let you forget it, you can understand, listen, I hurt you and I understand all of that, but I am no longer under the shame of that as far as God is concerned. So when I come together, we come together and we begin to eat, you know, have the bread and have the wine, it's important for us to remember and honor and go, Lord, the pastor's saying, so let's get this done so that we can go home. No, Lord, this is a reverent, honoring thing that we're doing right here. And we're remembering what Jesus did for me. Right? And I love the fact that there's two elements, because the blood is what cleansed me and washed me. But he said, my body is broken for you. In 1 Peter, he says, by his stripes, you were healed. Let me say that again. By his stripes, you were healed. What does that mean? That means when he took those stripes, everything that was necessary for you to be healed of anything that the enemy has thrown at you was taken care of.
Thank you, Lord.
Our problem is that we're not able to see it that way, so we never receive the gift of grace that is. Right? Well, you know, when I feel healed, I'll be healed. No. No. When you see yourself healed because of the broken body of Jesus, you'll receive the healing. Let me just tell you this story because it fits. There was a lady and she had gone through some things and she was blind. And there was a healing evangelist that came. And she'd been prayed for by the best of them. You know, they had a lot of different people coming in, and she'd been prayed for. But she was avoiding this healing evangelist in this church because, I don't want to be prayed for again and be disappointed. But this healing evangelist tracked her down and cornered her. And he said, close your eyes. And she said, okay. She closed her eyes. And she prayed over him. And then he asked her, what do you see? And she began to open her eyes. And he said, I didn't tell you to open your eyes. And so she closed them again. And what do you see? She began to open her eyes again. He said, I did not tell you to open your eyes. And so what do you see? She began, and he said, "Ah, ah." And finally she goes, "I get it. I need to see it in here before I'll see it out here." So she said, "I got it. I got it. I got it." She opened her eyes and she was healed. Sometimes we're blind to the finished work of the cross because we don't see it in here. And we're looking for it on the outside. Well, I won't be ashamed when I don't feel ashamed. I'll be righteous when I feel righteous. No, that's not how it works. It works this way. God, help me to see that I'm righteous. Help that picture to be on the inside of me more than the shame and the voices that I hear on the outside. See, when we take the elements, we've been made right with God, but He's also healed our body. He's also met all of our needs. He's also given us peace, and it's all contained in this. So when Jesus went away, He said He was fervently desiring this because He knew everything that was necessary for us to receive the things that He promised and purchased were available because He did the work. So we're going to have communion in just a few minutes. But the reality is, Lord, this is a holy, holy moment. And not only should my heart be filled with gratitude, I'm not going to leave one benefit on the table. Because if you said I'm holy, I'm going to see myself as holy. If you said that you were going to meet all of my needs, then I'm going to see myself with my needs met. Again, I think I mentioned last week, I've been meditating on the verse, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And the thing that I've been meditating on is power means not only the strength and the might, but the ability to be my witnesses. Now, again, for me personally and just where I'm at, it's like, Lord, for years I've asked you to help me take on your love for people so that when I look at them or that I'm around them, that they can sense the love of God in me and through me for you. You know, and so it's like, Lord, I need to see that. So in the meditation of that, it's beginning to build a picture on the inside of me that I've been able to display the love of God in my Christian walk, and it's been wonderful, but I haven't seen anything yet. Why? Because there's so much more.
Yes, come on.
Hello. Glory. Again, I'm going to tell you the story. And I don't know if we need to get the kids back in or would somebody just go tell them that we're ready for communion. Let me tell you this story. I just gotten saved. And again, I told you that I was raised in a Catholic church. Well, this was back in the charismatic heyday. And so if you were a Catholic charismatic, you met in the basement of a church at a prayer meeting. Well, this is up at the University of Washington. I forget the priest's name, his father, I can't remember, but he led the prayer meeting where we were all filled with the Holy Spirit, worshiped in tongues. I'm telling you, those days were amazing. We worshiped in tongues and praised God in tongues, but speaking to this man, I have never experienced this to the degree that I experienced with that priest. The love of God poured from his eyes, and when he looked at you, you were saturated in love, which meant he accepted you. He thought the best of you. He saw the value in you. He didn't know me from anybody. And there were a whole group of people there, but he made every one of them feel just that way. This communion cup and considering the Lord's body is the very thing that inspires me to go deeper into that kind of relationship. Why? So that God can use every one of us to go to the hurting and the lost and the people that are need deliverance and say, listen, right in this cup, you don't understand, right in this cup and this wafer is symbolizing what Jesus did for you. And he's no longer the one that's disappointed in you. He's the one that paid for your disappointment. I don't know if I've helped you, but I've been preaching me happy today. I'm just telling you that he's so good. If you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's go to verse 26 if you've got your Bibles. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This is what Jesus did. This is who Jesus is. Come on. Therefore, whoever... No, let's go back up. These aren't the right verses. Go to 24. I think. Go to 23 now. It's all right. For I receive from the Lord that which I also deliver to you. That's what we're doing today. So again, Paul is conveying this to the church at Corinth, but I'm conveying this to the church in Port Orchard, and specifically to the body of Christ that's sitting in this room. Just look around the room. Look around the room. They're all part of your body. They're all part of the body of Christ. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night when he was betrayed, he took the bread. But he was proclaiming that for each one of us this morning. He took the bread and he said, and we'd given thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He broke it and he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you and you and you and you. Up to this very hour, in this very moment, it was stated that for you this morning, Billy, for you this morning, Cheryl, for you, all of us, it was broken for me. It was broken for me. So when you take it, remember that I loved you so much that I gave myself for you, and the price that I paid for you, that by the wounds in my body, you're healed spiritually, emotionally, physically, in every way. I paid the price for your completeness. So take and eat, but remember me when you do. Go ahead. And it says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the covenant of my blood. Someday we'll go into that covenant, but in the covenant of my blood, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Before you drink, I just want you to remember that his blood was enough. His blood was enough not only to cover all of your mistakes and all of your liabilities, but to take them completely out of the way. As far as God's concerned, because of the blood of Jesus, you're as right with God as Jesus is. His blood is holy. His blood was accepted. So when we drink it, we're drinking it in remembrance of the fact that the finished work of Jesus has made me right with God. So go ahead and drink. Thank you, Lord. 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 Now, this is the last of the messages on faith for change. And well, what does this have to do with faith for change? It has everything to do with it, because this is the basis that we have faith in for change. It's his power. It's his promises. It's what he's done for us that gives us the strength to become who he wants us to be. And listen, this is so powerful, is that his changing in us and for us is the very purpose that we can be more useful to his body. Look around again. Look around at everything. God wants us to change so that we can be a blessing to each one that's here and each one who's coming. That tomorrow morning when you're driving or when you're at work or when you're, he wants you to be a blessing here and there, because you remember the finished work of Jesus. Amen. Did anybody get anything this morning? Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. We'll close. And if you're watching online, thank you for joining us. I hope and I believe that God touched you this morning. Make this a holy moment in your heart right now. Father, I thank you for every person that's here, every person that's under the sound of my voice, whether it's in this room or over the internet, Lord. I just thank you for touching them. Jesus, Jesus, I see you, Jesus. I see your face, Lord, that you're pleased with the accomplishment and the body of Christ. I thank you, Lord. I ask you to bless them, touch them, heal them. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, it's a personal thing between you and him. Just acknowledge your need for a Savior. Ask him to come. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you'll be saved. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. If I could have the worship team come up. If you need prayer this morning, the power.